your fault." She backed away. "I haven't done anything to you. You don't have to be afraid of me." She backed away further as the figure advanced. The eyes in the dark hollows of the mask glinted like tiny jewels. "I'm your friend, don't you see? Please, Walter. Walter!" There was, far off, an answering sound that seemed as loud as thunder and as impossible in the circumstances as a chocolate kettle. It was a clank of a bucket handle.
"What's the matter, Miss Perdita Knit?"
The ghost hesitated. There was the sound of footsteps, irregular footsteps. The ghost lowered the sword, opened a door in a piece of scenery painted to represent a castle wall, bowed ironically and slipped away. Walter rounded a corner. He was an unlikely knight errant. For one thing, he had on evening dress, obviously designed for someone of a different shape. He was still wearing his beret. He also wore an apron and was carrying a mop and bucket. But no heroic lance-wielding rescuer ever galloped over a drawbridge more happily. He was practically surrounded by a golden glow. "Walter?
What's the matter with Miss Christine?"
She fainted," said Agnes. Probably the excitement with the opera tonight. Yes, probably the excitement, because of the opera tonight."
Walter gave her a slightly worried look.
"Yes," he said, and added patiently, "I know where there's a medicine box. Shall I get it?"
Christine groaned and fluttered her eyelashes.
"Where am I?"
Perdita gritted Agnes's teeth. "Where am I?" That didn't sound the sort of thing someone said when they woke up from a faint. Sounded more like the sort of thing they said because they'd heard it was the sort of thing people said.
"You fainted," she said.
She looked hard at Walter.
"Why were you in here, Walter?"
"Got to mop out the stagehand's privy, Miss Knit. Always having trouble. I've been working on it for months."
"But you're wearing evening dress."
"Yes, then I got to be a waiter afterwards because we're short-handed and there's no one else to be a waiter when they have drinks and sausages on poles before the opera."
No one could have moved that fast. True, Walter and the ghost hadn't both been in the room at the same time, but she'd heard his voice. No one could have had time to duck around behind the piles of flats and turn up at the opposite side of the room in seconds, unless they were some sort of wizard. Some of the girls did say the ghost could almost seem to be in two places at once. Perhaps there were other secret places like the old staircase. Perhaps he... She stopped herself. Walter Plinge wasn't the ghost then. There was no sense in trying to find some excitable explanation to prove wrong right. She'd told Christine. Well, Christine was giving her just a slightly bemused look as Walter helped her up. And she'd told Andre, but he hadn't seemed to believe her, so probably that was all right. Which meant that the ghost was someone else. She'd been so certain.
"You'll enjoy it, Mother, you really will. Chained for the likes of us, Henry. I don't see why Mr. Morecambe couldn't give you tickets to see Nellie Stamp at the music hall. Now that's what I call music. Proper tunes, you can understand. Songs like She Sits Among the Cabbages and Leeks are not very cultural, Mother."
Two figures wandered through the crowds heading for the opera house. This was their conversation.
"It's a good laugh, though, and you don't have to hire suits. Seems daft to me, having to wear a special suit just to listen to music." "It enhances the experience," said young Henry, who had read this somewhere.
"I mean, how does the music know?" said his mother. "Now, Nellie Stamp, come along, Mother."
It was going to be one of those evenings, he knew it. Henry Lawsey did his best. And given the starting point, it wasn't a bad best. He was a clerk in the firm of Morecambe, Slant and Honeyplace, a somewhat old-fashioned legal partnership. One reason for its less-than-modern approach was the fact that Messrs. Morecambe and Honeyplace were vampires, and Mr. Slant was a zombie. The three partners were therefore technically dead, although this did not prevent them putting in a proper day's work, normally during the night, in the case of Mr. Morecambe and Mr. Honeyplace. From Henry's point of view, the hours were good and the job was not onerous, but he chafed somewhat about his promotion prospects because clearly dead men's shoes were being fully occupied by dead men. He decided that the only way to succeed was to better himself by improving his mind, which he tried to do at every opportunity. It is probably a full description of Henry Lawes's mind that if you had given him a book called How to Improve Your Mind in 5 Minutes, he would have read it with a stopwatch. His progress through life was hampered by his tremendous sense of his own ignorance, a disability which affects all too few people.